I've got a good man down at Collingwood. A lot of these state league clubs have got fantastic football people looking after their state league programs. Jay Rivers played 194 games for both Melbourne and Geelong and has committed himself to development coaching and now coaching at VFL level since his days as a player were done far too early. And he's been good enough to join us in the studio to keep having a chat about this state league coaching. Good to see you, mate. Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it, mate.
How are you going? I said you're looking good, and the first thing you did was tell me about your knee.
No, I'm going okay, mate. Feeling good. The body's clearly going better since I finished playing. I had a few issues with the knee, but back to running around a little bit and getting myself a little bit fitter.
From a coaching big picture, before we get into many of the kind of minor issues, from a coaching perspective, the fact that you from a pretty young age in your playing career had to start battling, you know, your body and injuries, does that give you any sort of perspective that you might not otherwise have from a coaching point of view?
I think so, especially, like you said, I was probably 27, 28 when I started to feel the body really, really turn for the worse. So, you definitely got to think about outside of footy, life after footy. And I was lucky enough to be involved with Xavier's first 18 footy team for 3 or 4 years while I was down at Geelong and had a commitment there, which I really enjoyed and got that that pretty much started my passion, I reckon, for coaching. And young kids are like a sponge. They just love advice and really enjoyed that time there. And probably as a player, not ultimately getting the success of a grand final, winning a grand final, I really felt like, developing these young kids, I got a lot out of it myself. Even last year, for example, Marty Hoare, who was on our VFL list for 2 or 3 years, and Tom Jock as well, to see them, get their dreams come true and play AFL footy and get drafted, just gives yourself a bit of satisfaction in that. And you had a role to play in that, which is great. And VFL is a tough program and a tough for these young kids who work and go to uni and come and work their ass off for 3 or 4 hours night. So it's a tough industry, but to see the reward on those boys' faces when they get drafted, it's pretty exciting.
I think unless there's hardliners who will go, you'll see them. They'll be down at the Holden Centre, and you'll see them at Vic Park, and they're fans of the footy club, and they're as invested in the VFL program to some degree as they are in the AFL program. So they'll know what these players are doing at VFL level. They'll know the efforts that they're being asked to produce to get to that level and hopefully go to the next one. It's a serious requirement that you're asking these guys to produce, isn't it?
It's that balance. I think as a coach for the last 3 years at VFL, you get to understand how passionate some of these young kids are, and clearly there's some kids that just want to play VFL footy, but there's other kids that want to strive to AFL, and to see the dedication that they put in, the time into their game, it's pretty full on. And being in a line with an AFL program the opportunities aren't great. So, we've got players on our VFL list that are struggling to get a game now, just at the back off, we've got a really healthy AFL list, so we only might have 5 or 6 players that play each week, and you've got a squad of 30 that play local. So it's trying to keep the balance and the enjoyment out of it can be tough at times, but the boys understand what they sign up for, but it's still not easy.
So I remember asking Jade Rawlings about that, because when he came in, we just ended up discussing this. How important is it for you and the other guys involved in running the VFL program at Collingwood, how important is it for you to have a really good relationship with those clubs that your VFL players go back to?
It's important. And we've got an academy coach that we brought in, Ryan Power, who looks after our young kids at VFL. And he goes to the majority of the games on the weekend to try and look at them and see how they're playing at local level. But, we try and get reports off the local coaches. Some are good at it, some aren't. So we try and every Monday or Tuesday night, we try and get the boys that did play local to talk about their game and their own performance, but they're not going to sit there and they say they dominated and kick 6 goals, so it's always tough. But and that's the challenge, mate. Look, I'm purely, it's not their local form that's really going to get them a game at VFL, so it's more just them playing their footy at local level. We like to have a little bit to do with what roles they play at local, but we can't really, because that's not their role with that. So it's just a needs basis, really, mate, when it comes
to VFL. Are they going back to their suburban clubs more often than not? And are they the best players at those clubs? Are they generally...
Yeah, majority are, I think. So that's where it's gets a bit iffy at time with some local coaches because they don't really know. They're trying to win a game, and they're probably two or three best players in that team. So you've got to have that really good balance with those coaches. And yeah, like I said, it's a pretty tough industry to be in.
Yeah. Mm. How many guys, of those 30 VFL listed blokes, whatever the number is at any VFL, how many of those blokes do you have on your list to help you win a game of footy at VFL level, as opposed to having them as a potential player who one day might be draftable for the AFL?
Yeah, we've been pretty lucky in the Collingwood program. We've had a really good core group of players that have been there probably for 4 or 5 years now that have really driven the program. Our captain, Jack Helly, who's, I think, captain for the 6 years, which is very rare. He's really driven that group together. And by the likes of Matty Smith, who's been there, Lockie Tardrew, Woody's come back, Alex Wood has come back and co-captain now with Jack. So we've got a lot of guys that probably 8 to 10 that's a really good core group that really, really builds the program and rely off them. And then, like you said, we've got some young boys that are come with us this year, and Campbell Husway, who's captain of Dandenong Stingrays last year, didn't get picked up, but he's with us now and playing some good footy for us at VFL level.
Yep.
Cal Wellings is another young kid who didn't get picked up 2 years ago. He's with us. And those are the boys that I'm talking about that are keen and eager to take that next step.
They can go. So they haven't given up on the dream at all.
Not at all. And I think the mid-season draft probably gives these boys a little bit more incentive as well to play well at VFL footy.
Are you, like, we've had Andy Collins has done this segment, and I noticed him in the paper this morning. He's an unbelievable advocate for his players. Like, he's always pushing, and he was pushing blokes like Mick Gibbons, for example. He's pushing Gibbons for 3 years before Gibbons gets the lifeline at it. Can you see yourself being one of those down the track? If you stay at this level for a while, can you see yourself being a real competition? Take notice of this bloke because he's too good to, you know, you mentioned Marty Hall.
He was the one that stood out for me. Like, I feel like at times clubs look for that 5% chance that this guy might be a 200 game player, where you can actually look internally and look closely at the VFL program. There's some quality players that are continuing to play well every single week. And you just, sometimes it feels like they're not looking where they should be looking. They're always trying to find somewhere else to try and get them. Like you said, when you're with these guys, you know, most of the time throughout the week, and you know that they're going to have a crack every single week, and the program is challenging for these young kids, and it's not easy. So I think a lot of that also builds them up to become really, really strong-minded, because I think you have to be in a program like the VFL.
Can some of these blokes, dirty up's the wrong term, but they're aspirational and they want to show the world that they can play, and they get, you know, occasionally there's a TV game that they're in, and they always know that there's
a few new haircuts that we've
that's always a worry, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know we're on TV. But when they're coming in and they're a VFL listed player and they want to show off, you know, but they don't get the opportunity to play where they're best suited, or they think they're best suited, because you've got AFL list of players coming down. Yeah. How difficult is that for you to just embed in those players' minds? Listen, do the right, just do your job, do it, and you'll get noticed.
Yeah.
You will get noticed. I mean, is that a hard sell?
It is a little bit at times, to be honest, because clearly they know what they signed up for, being an affiliate with an AFL club, and they are always, we always clearly give the AFL boys first preference on what role
you have to, mate.
They've got to play. I think they understand it, but it's never easy. Like, you can accept it, but it doesn't mean you're happy with the decision, and that's where myself as coach, you've got to try and show them there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, and keep playing your role every week. It might not be the flashy things or that type of thing, but as myself as coach, that those little things they're pretty important for us at VFL level. So you keep him to those little things. Hopefully the rest will look after itself.
I don't know you, so I don't know why I think this would be the case, but I reckon you'd be pretty good at identifying a player who was just going outside the scope of the requirements that you've given them on any given day. Maybe stuff that coaches, my chance. I know there's a couple of recruiters here today. I'm going to show off a little. Are you good at identifying a player who might just be using the platform occasionally?
You're right, mate. I don't like it. But it is. It's, and that's the tough thing. I reckon even the AFL listed guys that do come back, and play with us at VFL, clearly their mindset at times is a little bit about them.
No doubt.
So that's where the challenge as a coach is, that it's so easy for them to let them know, look, you don't need to do the flashy stuff. You're back here for a reason, and you just got to keep working on those things that you need to work on.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. But at time, their mindset's, no, I've got to get 35.
Exactly.
Kick six. Like, it's just, yeah. But I think you've got to peel it right back and work on those basic things that they need to work on and try and go from there.
Most of them would be pretty good at it, though, wouldn't they? Understanding that.
It's just, yeah, the young kids at times can get a little bit frustrating and they get frustrated. But, especially when you've got a healthy list like we do at Collingwood.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, these young kids, you just got to bide your time and work hard, and your opportunity is going to come.
So how much of it, I don't know whether you can quantify this, but if you broke it into one of two, your job is to develop or your job is to win? Would you know, is it 50-50? Because footy clubs, well, I'm a huge believer in this. I reckon if you've got your AFLW team, if they start winning, you've got your VFL team, they're winning. Your AFL team, winning is contagious. Everyone gets up and about and around footy clubs. Yeah. Do you have a... Is it easy for you to break down from a... Is it 50-50? Is it 70-30?
The odds on it. Yeah. I don't know about the odds, but as a coach, you definitely want to win. Yeah. Like you said, that builds excitement, that builds belief. But clearly in my role, it's a lot to do with development, and that's where the VFL... has a place for these young kids coming into an AFL system. But getting that balance between winning and building a really good culture and developing is always that fine line, I think. So, it's a balance where I at times struggle with, because I do get frustrated at times.
Competitive, definitely.
I think we all are who's in the industry. But you got to peel back a little bit and sit back and understand where these kids are coming from, and it does take time to develop as players.
So do you have your sport and science blokes sitting there on their computers? And I love them, by the way. I've got a whole new insight into how important these people are. So I'm not potting you when I say this, but have you got them sitting on your shoulder or in your box, and you've got, say, Josh Dacos. I'm not going to pick a name out, right? You've got Dacos playing for you, and he's only supposed to play 60 minutes. Well, he's coming off something, and he's all hypothetical. He's only got to play 60 minutes, but he's going okay, and he's kicked through a four, and he's running a mark, and he's played 65 minutes, and it's 11 minutes into the last quarter, and you want to keep him out there. And they're saying, Jared, you've got to get him off.
Yeah. I normally give Bucks a quick call.
Right.
just before.
Is there a chance?
No, it's not really.
Are you allowed to, at VFL, are you allowed to exercise a bit of your own, he looks like he's going okay to me, and I know you're telling me he's under stress, but the kid's fresh as a daisy and he's just kicked his fourth. Like, are you allowed to, or do you have to, are you completely beholden to that?
I think we've got Kevy White, who's our high performance manager, and he's got a really good relationship with him. And I think with that, being that it's probably through injury they're coming back, you've got to be really careful with that.
Of course you
do. That's where we don't put players in those positions. But, it is challenging. And I think a few years ago we had Mason Cox, who was with us, and we were down at Casey, and he was dominating. And we were in the game, right in the game, and he
had to come off.
Well, there was a carryover at the time that Bucks had, and then and then at half time, he goes, actually, we're going to take Coxie this time because, we might need him. And I'm like,
oh no.
I'm trying to give an inspirational speech at half time when the best player's going off. I'm like, sorry, boys, we've got to try and find a different way.
Well, I mean, the extreme case of this was that Box Hill game a couple of years ago, wasn't it, when Hawthorn were playing the next week and they had Cyril sitting on the bench.
I remember
that game? Like, we were all watching it. We couldn't believe what we were seeing. But
and that's just the – I think that's the program, unfortunately. It's not going to change, I don't think. It is there to get AFL boys back from injury and to progress to get to AFL standards. So, you just got to cop that and try and find other ways to win.
But your AFL, when you lose a tight one, and I know my mob got you last 2 weeks ago in a tight one that you probably should have won, or neutral judges suggest you should have probably won that one. Do they, the guys who are seeking higher office or are AFL listed, do they still get, are they sitting in the rooms after a game flat because they've been part of a losing team? It still means something to them.
Yeah, and that I try and drive that a lot. I think that's one of the biggest not issues in VFL, but trying to get that connection. So clearly, teams like Williamstown and Port Melbourne, they got a list for the whole year.
Different.
The same list.
Yeah,
and we, at times, every week, we've got four or five, six changes that every week there's just... So that continuity to get the group together is always tough and challenging. But I think if it, everyone's competitive at in sport, and especially playing footy. So I think the AFL boys' mindset and attitude is really good. Like, they're there to win still.
Yeah, good.
And that's what we try and really push at VFL level, because, you know, you've got VFL list of players that are there to win and get better and want to play finals footy. So we're not, you know, AFL players have to realise that it's not just about them. That's trying to get that balance right. It's really crucial.
Yeah, but it takes some call. Throw it over. Collingwood, if there's anybody interested in the game at this level, big picture stuff, or if there's, you know, Collingwood supporters out there who want to ask specific questions about, you know, the VFL program and players coming through with Jared Rivers, your coach, feel free to get on the line. 1300 736 736. There's heaps of stuff to talk to him about on the way through. Continuing our State League coach conversation series we've been running, Jared Rivers, Collingwood VFL coach in the studio. Somebody off the text machine: you're far too softly spoken to be a coach, Jared. Somebody's identified.
You should have heard me in quarter time on the weekend, Eddie. I was quite embarrassed the way I behaved.
So. Don't ever be. Because that is one of those things, right? As a coach, I imagine every now and again you kind of half lose your mind a bit.
And I didn't think I ever would. I'm not like. Who was out on the text? Sorry. I didn't think I would, but competitive. I'm competitive. I want to win, and you get frustrated, but sometimes you just got to understand where the player's at and where we're at, and try and take a deep breath, which I'm doing more and more each week.
Have you got someone? You got to a point yet where you've got the bloke who taps you on the shoulder?
I don't want someone on tapping on the shoulder. Right. I don't think that's the good way to go about it.
Johnny's in 1300 736 736. If you want to talk to Jared Rivers about the big picture stuff, State League footy, or if you want to talk Collingwood in particular, feel free to get on the line. 1300 736 736. John's in Hampton and has done just that. Good afternoon to you, Johnny.
G'day, Andy. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. You're talking to Jared Rivers.
Yeah, Jared, how are you?
Good, thanks, John. Yourself?
Good, mate. Look, I'm a big fan of Rupert Wills, and see, he's been travelling really well in the VFL this year. And since his debut in 2016, and, you know, big-bodied midfielder, 191 centimetres.
Yep.
I know we've got depth in the midfield at the moment, but is there anywhere else we could probably use Rupert? Because, you know, they sort of tall, heavy midfielders are hard to find.
Yeah, they are. It's a good question. He's been in really good form over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Had a few injuries since 2016. Hasn't got his body or to a place where he wanted it. But now he's playing some really good footy for us at VFL. I think he is just a pure mid, mate, to be honest. He's quite tall, like you said, so he probably can go down and play forward for us, whether that's a key forward role or a connector-type role where you can break the space and try and take a mark, because he's pretty good aerially for a midfielder. So, like I said, the last few weeks his numbers have been quite impressive. 30-odd touches, he's a contested ball machine, and he's starting to use the ball really well as well. So, like you said, our midfield depth at AFL runs quite deep. So for him, he's just got to keep tipping into his game, and I think that opportunity is probably going to come sooner rather than later. Definitely the way he's been playing.
Thanks for your call, John. Greg's in Tullamarine and wants to chat about a young fella you've already mentioned, Jared. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
G'day, gents. Jared, as a Melbourne supporter, I'm just wondering if you gave the D's a head up about Marty Hall. And if so, well done, young man.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I told Erica who's at Collingwood as well, mate, but they didn't listen to me. So, mate, I'm just really rapt for him to get drafted, just to see him and how hard he worked on his game since I've been at Collingwood. And in there watching vision with him and his review, you know, twice a week. He was really keen to take that next step, and I thought he had the attributes as a player to do that. Love the way he goes about it, and it's just great to see him get an opportunity at Melbourne and starting to play some really good footy for him. He's seen a lot of the ball now, but at Melbourne in the back line, but he's going really well, and it's just great to see how much work these young kids put in, and for him to get rewarded like that and get drafted is a fantastic achievement for him.
Do you ever walk past the recruiters every now and again?
I do, all the time.
Let them know.
I do. They don't enjoy it.
We're coming up to the news, but you'd like to see players you're developing at Collingwood at VFL level stay at the footy club, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And it's hard because even our back line depth at AFL's, we're stacked strong. With Sharon Burke still to come back, and you know, got and Appleby and all those guys. Yeah. So it is quite tough to get into a back line.
Dom, we'll get to you after the news headlines. More with Jared Rivers after that. Jared Rivers in the studio. Thanks, Steph. Jared Rivers in the studio talking Collingwood VFL and State League football, you know, more broadly. Before we get to Dom and John, 1300 736, if you want to ask Jared any questions. You mentioned the word connectivity or connection or something.
Connection, yeah.
It's a bit of a buzzword in footy now, but we understand where it sits. Getting the connection that you want and need for a cohesive performance on a weekend, when you've got a lot of AFL-listed players and you've got your VFL boys, probably don't, I don't know, they probably don't train together that much during the week.
Yeah, we've probably got one night a week that they come and tour together for a meeting and a little bit of a training session. But
so how hard is that? How difficult, when you get to match day and it's under stress and you want people, how difficult is it to get a performance when you're dealing with that?
Yeah, it's tough. There's no doubt in that. So you try and find ways within the program to try and get some of these young, even our young AFL-listed guys to come and train with the VFL boys for a couple of sessions throughout the pre-season is always a good idea, just because the guys that we draft probably are going to spend majority of the time with us at VFL. So just trying to find different ways to build that group and that connection together is always important. So, we try our best to get that happening. And
does it matter? I mean, it matters to you, but to the heads of the footy department who are, you know, they want to win a premiership at AFL level, when you raise an issue like this, does it matter to them? I'm sure it matters to a degree, but are they going to change things? Are they going to shift training schedules around? Are they going to do, to a degree, what you need or hope they could do to make it a bit easier for the VFL program?
Definitely at Collingwood, we try. I think Bucks is really, really good. Marcus Wagner as well, who runs up our program a little bit in high performance, he's really good. I think they understand how important it is.
Yep.
But at times it is challenging to try and do that. So clearly AFL program's the number one, but we're going to try and manufacture a little bit if we can. If there's times throughout the year where we can get that, I think the club's pretty good at doing that.
So from a competitive perspective, we've always had this view, or there's been this kind of view that has developed, I reckon, at VFL level, that the standalone clubs are up against it. They're up against it. They don't have the facilities. They don't have the players. You know, the good players are going to go somewhere else. You know, they're up against it these days. And yet, if you've got a strong program, you know, like a Port Melbourne or a, you know, do they actually have an advantage, do you reckon, in the competition that is the Victorian Footy League?
I think, being 3 or 4 years in the VFL, I think they do. I think they have pros and cons.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But I reckon, and I speak about connection a lot, and I have today, but I think, knowing that those guys know, I reckon, every player, each player, they would know how someone plays, whether it's down back or forward. So that connection from the mids to the forwards, every week's going to be the same, pretty much. The same midfield group, the same forward group, and the same back group. So I think that's where their continuity as a group can probably be a little bit better than AFL teams.
Sometimes you see
that. You get, at times, and even at times for us, we've had 18, 19 AFL listed players play against a Williamstown, and we get beaten by 6 goals.
So it's
just, and they're bigger body, they're mature, you know, AFL listed players and some of the young VFL listed guys, they're not as big as these senior VFL listed guys running around at Williamstown or Port Melbourne. So there's definitely pros and cons to both.
And if you were in Ayres' shoes or Andy Collins' shoes, for example, you'd use that. Hey, boys, you're up. You're playing Collingwood today. They're the millionaires. You know?
I think they do. I'm sure they do.
I'd definitely be using that, you know?
Absolutely.
Dom's in Northcote, wants to have a chat to you. Good afternoon to you, mate.
G'day, gents. My question to Jared is just in regards to Marty Hall. Just what was he always overlooked, mate? What was the reasoning? Why was Collingwood out?
I'm getting the sense you get a lot of questions about Marty Hall, dude.
No, it's a great question. Like I said before, I think some clubs try and pick at things that definitely young kids that players can't do. So he's always had a knock on him with his speed and that type of thing with his game. So I think at times we can tend to look at players what they can't do instead of what they can do.
Spot on.
And he was just such a super reader of the play and the game, his position.